Yes, I had a condominium at Stillwater, and we had a big old long 24-foot pontoon boat. It had a little place on it you could change clothes. And I played golf in the morning and joined my wife and children after lunch, and I went in that little compartment and changed my clothes and folded my pants up and came out and laid them down on the seat. Well, you know, we were out there on the boat, and I don't remember whether the wind from the boat moving blew them off the boat or the wind blew them off the boat, but anyway, they ended up in the water. I didn't remember how I lost them until I asked my ex-wife, and she told me, she said, yeah, I remember it. Maybe she said, you told little Pat, which is, you know, he's probably 12 or 13 years old. No, I guess he was older than that. He told him to go get them. He said, you crazy. So anyway, they sunk in about 17 feet of water. And of course, I didn't know how deep the water was at the time, but when the lake went down about 4 or 5 years ago in the summer to that level, as a boy and his wife, because people found all kind of stuff on the bottom of that lake. You know, they go out there and walk the shores. But anyway, this girl walked along there and saw these pair of old mattress pants, still had my billfolds, car keys, driver's license, all my credit cards, everything was still in the pockets of my pants. Well, the girl picked it up and looked at them, and she didn't even know who I was. And she showed them to her husband. She said, well, that's the coach at Auburn. And so then somebody found out about it, and they ended up coming with me, and the girl and the husband brought the pants over here, and we got a picture made. And I said, you know, I don't really. I have a fundraiser for the School of Nursing, and I said, I'm going to auction those pants off. And I did, and they brought $7,500. Nancy had them put in a shadow box and put my billfold, credit card, driver's license, keys hanging, and so. Somebody wanted them, and we made some money for scholarship for the School of Nursing.
Coach Howard Snellenberger is on our program every single Thursday. I know Coach Stallings, one of your friends, is on Friday, but Coach Snellenberger was telling us that he was good friends with you back in the day, and I don't know if he said that you guys were roommates, but you rode back and forth.
No, Coach Snellenberger was the cheapest guy that you ever saw. Now, here I was making $6,000 a year. Now, he was making a lot of money. He was making about $9,000. And this is in 65 now. Coach Bryant knew I couldn't live on $6,000 a year, so he knew he wouldn't ever have to fire me. He just starved me out. But Coach Snellenberger would ride to work with me every morning. Well, I had an old Volkswagen station wagon. The darn thing wouldn't start, so I'd have to park it on the hill outside my house so we could roll it off every morning and get it started. He'd ride to work with me. I never, of course, we just coached together in 65, but I never will forget after we played Nebraska in the Orange Bowl, and there's a first day back to work, I pick him up, and he gets in the car, and he says, Pat, you ever heard of George Allen? I said, who? He said, George Allen. I said, no, I ain't never heard of George Allen. He said, well, he called me. He said, he's the head coach at the Los Angeles Rams. And he just called me and offered me a job. I said, man, you crazy. You ain't going to leave Alabama and go to the Los Angeles Rams. I said, now, that's how naive I was. Well, Howard told me, I saw him 2 or 3 weeks ago down at the Beach Fest, and Howard said, if Coach Bryant had given him another $1,000, he'd have stayed in Alabama, but he left, and of course it's all history now, and he became a great head coach. But Howard Snellenberger was as good assistant coach and as good a football mind as anybody that I've ever been around in my life. And I mean, he could do it all. He could get kids to play at that ultimate potential, and then he could put them in position to win. And he was innovative during his time at Alabama, you know, coordinating the offense, and that was a great experience, just being on the staff with Howard for a year and watching him.
Coach, I know you probably didn't watch it, but BYU put up 550 yards rushing against Mac Brown against Texas, and that was a top 15 team. You have any thoughts about?
Yeah, that goes to show you how smart these prognosticators are, and these folks that make predictions. That's, you know, it's all speculative. Now, that's the reason we needed the playoff long, long, long time ago. And we need eight teams. We don't need just four. Because, see, it's already starting right now. Louisville's going to be in the controversy. Well, Louisville don't play a team in the top 25. Now, how are you going to compare them with LSU and Alabama if they happen to have one loss? But if you had eight teams, you could put a Louisville in there and then play three games, and you would come very close to having a true national champion. There never has been a true national champion. I mean, you can, I mean, we could claim the one in '83 because we won the computer poll out of the Washington Times computer poll national champions in '83. We played the toughest schedule in the nation, number one toughest schedule in the nation, and went 11-1 just like everybody else in the country, but we didn't win the national championship. But I mean, it's all been mythical, and now they're gonna have a playoff, and we'll find out who it is. It's just like the year we won the national championship. I don't think we could have beat Alabama if we'd have played them again. And I know darn well. I think there were four teams in the conference that year that could have beat Oregon, including Alabama. I think LSU could have beat them, and probably Arkansas. But it is what it is, and you know, people a lot smarter than I am making the decisions, I reckon. But I sure hope that eventually we'll go to eight teams.
Coach, I've got less than 2 minutes. I'd like to talk about Texas A&M and Alabama. It's a big game of the century. It's a big matchup in College Station.
Well, it is because A&M beat Alabama last year. And, you know, Alabama's been looking forward to playing this game for the whole year. And, I said this summer, talking to somebody, I said, you know, I think Alabama will beat Texas A&M by two touchdowns. And I haven't changed the way I feel about it. I think they will. You know, I just think that, you know, Texas A&M is probably going to score some points and move the football. But, you know, I don't know if Texas A&M can stop Alabama. I think A&M's defense last year had as much to do winning that football game as Texas A&M's offense. And I don't think they're that good on defense this year. They haven't been in the first two games because they got three starters that are coming back off suspension. And that may happen, but you got to have 11 people playing defense. You can't, them three will help, but unless they're dynamic players.
Coach, I just want to make sure. You said Alabama will beat Texas A&M by two touchdowns.
That's what I think. That's what I thought. The things that Texas A&M. Now here's the deal right here. You know, they played Rice.
Coach, I've got about 1 minute.
Okay, well, they played Rice, and then they played Stephen Austin or whoever. But they haven't been in a real shown up war. Now, when they get in that war, and they're gonna be in one Saturday night, then how are they going to react then? You know, I mean, that's what interests me. Is you, and you know how Alabama's going to react. They're predictable. And maybe Texas A&M is too. I don't know enough about them, you know, long term. I know that they were dynamic last year. But I just think, you know, they didn't score any points against Alabama after Alabama, you know, quit rushing that quarterback and made him start to throw the football. So, you know, we just have to wait and see.
Well, Coach, it's another big weekend of college football action. Auburn on Mississippi State, Texas A&M. playing Alabama. Coach Pat Dye, I really appreciate you being part of our show. If you want to connect with Coach Pat Dye, a great way to do that is patdyenetwork.com. He does his own radio program, interviews a lot of superstars, and I know Coach Stallings has been on there, many other great coaches.
I think you're going to have Danny Ford on this week.
That's a big conversation.
Yeah.
And he was just inducted into the Clemson Hall of Fame just a couple of months ago.
He should have been in there a long time ago. But, you know, I tried to hire Danny when I went to East Carolina. He almost came, but Coach Bryant told him he didn't want him to go, so he stayed out.